Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
You know, you and I would repeatedly hear how important it is to believe in God and believe God. The belief system required is quite simple and it's quite straightforward. But making our faith religious and making our faith churchy gets in the way of knowing what it really means to believe in. But it's the Holy Spirit's job description. It's the Holy Spirit's position. That was the Holy Spirit who was sent to help us when we struggle with religious misinterpretations of who He is, who Christ is, and who our Heavenly Father is. You and I may experience emotion when the Holy Spirit is present, but can I assure us tonight that the Holy Spirit is much more than a feeling? In the past, I believe we've been misinformed about the Holy Spirit. We've been taught wrong things about Him. We've been misled to say His days on earth are finished. But friends, we must know who He is if we understand His ministry. We've been basing our message over the last few weeks out of John chapter 14, Jesus preparing the disciples for His departure, preparing us for His leaving. And He said these words, and you know the passage well, and it says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby, that He may remain with you forever, always. Mine just says forever, yours might say always. I don't think any Bible says forever, always. But aren't they the words of Jesus? Aren't they the promise of God through the voice of Jesus to planet Earth? Three nods and a yes. And a yo. Fables, myths, stories about the Holy Spirit get in the way of us truly knowing about Him and who He really is. One of the dangers we do is we define and describe the Holy Spirit about who He is not rather than who He is. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. He's not an emotion. He's not hairs standing up on your arm. He's not a jump or a skip or rolling over the carpet barking like a dog. But Holy Spirit is a real person. We need to set aside those religious assumptions about His identity and also the role that He plays here, now, 2018, in our lives. Friends, when we know who He is, then we can benefit from what He was called to do. The Holy Spirit was sent to speak to us. So we don't get caught up in jumping and shouting and rolling and barking, skipping and talking about His presence, our hairs standing up on our arms. The Holy Spirit's mission is to convince us to change our minds and our hearts on this whole issue. Friends, the Holy Spirit can only help us if we believe in Him. Amen? Amen. God can work in our lives. God can bless us. God can heal us. But we must first believe this is the order for Him to be able to do this. Mark 9 and verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, if, is that little word, if you can believe, After Robert said it, all things are possible to him that believes. We often talk about believing believers. Oh yes, brother, I know the Bible's true. I believe in the cover to cover, and the maps, the index, the atlases, the whole lot. I believe it. Don't give me that tongue stuff. Don't give me that Holy Spirit moving stuff. Well, a believing believer says, I believe in it. From cover to cover, I believe the whole lot. Jesus promised in here. John 16, verses 7 and 8. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When Jesus opens with those words, a verily, verily type statement, what do you think? A fairy story? Perhaps maybe it? However, I am telling you the truth, nothing but the truth, when I say it is profitable. The Amplified says, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. Amplified, it says, to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, about uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. Jesus was telling his disciples right at that moment that it was his departure would be good for them. How many know that God only does good things for his people? There's no bad side of God. He says it's not only going to be good for you, it's not only going to be the truth for you, but it's going to be to your advantage. And like you, like me, at first, we did not understand that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I know about the Father. I know Jesus came to redeem me by paying the price for my life, for my sin, with his life. But Holy Spirit, I'm not so sure. But here in the Amplified, it just doesn't say he's another comforter. The Amplified tees it out and describes who Holy Spirit is and what his job description here on earth is about, as a comforter, as a counselor, as a helper, as an advocate, as an intercessor, as a strengthener, and a standby, all describing Holy Spirit, who does these things. Didn't say to the disciples, hey guys, for a short time yet, Holy Spirit's going to be with you. He's going to get you grounded, going to get your foundations in place, going to birth a new church. Hang around for a while. Then I've got this other guy coming in. His name's Paul. He'll set you free. He'll plant churches everywhere. He'll be the apostle. He'll last for a while, and then I'll send someone else. But God's plan was that he knew we needed somebody to take the comforter's place, take Jesus' place. Jesus wasn't destined to be here forever, but Holy Spirit's destiny was to come and to be with us always forever, if I can use your terminology. In John 16, verses 8 to 11, it says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of sin because they do not what? Believe in me. Jesus speaking again. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. You know, the Holy Spirit was sent here to convict us of sin, but not to make us feel guilty. In this context, to convict is to convince. Come on. No, it's Sunday night. Look at your watches saying you've passed his 7 o'clock curfew. The Holy Spirit's job was not to come here and wrap you around the ear and tell you you've been a naughty boy or a naughty girl, get back to the Father. His job was to convince us that our life was sin-filled and we needed it re-established that relationship with God again. Part of the sin was not believing in Christ. Scripture just said that. They did not believe on me. How many people do we know that love the Word of God, love going to church, but their relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a little bit fragmented, it's a little bit unorganized, it's a little bit cluttered, it's not really the true revelation of why Father set up His Son and set up Holy Spirit to be with us, to operate in us, to show us. You see, every action of sin is a reaction to unbelief. Write that one down. Every action of sin is a reaction of unbelief. I don't believe that stuff, do you? That thou shalt not. What, really? Who does God think He is? Creator of all the universe or something? See, that oxygen's good. I wonder what would happen if He cut that off. Water I drank for lunch today was pretty tasty and fresh. If He cut off the rain, would I still? But see, in Hebrews 3, verse 12, Paul writes to the church, he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, listen to this, an evil heart of unbelief. Just doesn't talk about an unbelieving heart. He's talking about an evil heart of unbelief. So the Bible mentions here a wicked heart of unbelief. Isn't that sin? Wicked? Sin? Don't they go together? So Holy Spirit was sent by the Father, by God Himself, to convince us that we are the righteousness of God. When we believe on Jesus, we are declared what? Righteous. Our position is right in His eyes. When we what? Believe on Jesus. Are you with me? Additionally, the Holy Spirit was sent to convince us that the devil no longer has any authority or power over a born-again believer. The authority and the power has been given to us as born-again believers. What are we? Born again. What's the second word? Third word? Believers. Are we believers? Are we believing believers? Luke 10, 19, my favorite ever scripture. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall harm more. How many times have I had to stand on that scripture? Remind the devil, back in your place, buddy. All authority has been given to me as a believer. If I'm not a believer, there's no authority with it. If not, I'm not a believer, there's no power goes with it. Unbelief in what Jesus did for us is sin. Unbelief of what Jesus did for us is sin. And all other sin actions stem or branch out from that. You see, when you surrender your life to God, when you say, Jesus, come into my life, when you say, Lord, I can't do this anymore, I need you. He goes, I don't know about you, Irene, you've been a naughty girl for a while. Let me get back to you. Now, what does He say? He says, welcome into my Father's kingdom. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father except by me. So you say, Jesus, your prayer of repentance is, Jesus, come into my life. I repent of my old way of doing things I want to change. You start to put your trust and your belief in the Word of God, in the sayings of Jesus, and follow the pattern that the Bible set out for. And Holy Spirit is there to convince you that what you're doing is right, and everything that you've done in the past against Him has been wrong. In Hebrews 4:11 it says this, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." That word unbelief is the Greek word apatheia, which means a disbelief or a disobedience. So let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Let us move forward with what God's called us to do, lest any one of us fall after that same example of disbelief, disobedience, or as the New King James Bible says, unbelief. Now, rest here does not mean inactivity, but it means resting in God while we are working. You see, in God's eyes, unbelief is wicked. It's the only sin that cannot be forgiven. Think about that one. You ponder that one for a few days. Because God has created us to be free moral agents, you and I can choose whether or not we want to believe. Unbelief. Only believe. All things are possible for him who believes. Repentance, we turn away, we change, we turn 180 degrees from where we were going back to Christ. Unbelief becomes belief. So that resting is the acid test of belief. Resting is the acid test of belief. Sometimes you've got to work hard to find that place of rest. Why? Because unbelief, doubt, uncertainty, disobedience, outright sin can make you work hard because it doesn't want you to enter that place of rest. Holy Spirit's job is to come alongside, as we said here in the passage in John, alongside of us as our comforter, like Jesus was, our strengthener, our standby, our intercessor, all those other descriptions that the Amplified says. Advocate, standby, strengthener, all that. So it's a taboo subject for so many people. But if we open up our hearts and open up our minds and believe on God and start trusting what He's saying, there is literally no lack for those who believe. Literally no lack for those to believe. Why? Because all things, how many things? Are possible for him who believes. Words of Jesus. On the physical level, we may see the appearance of lack, but it does not exist when we believe on Jesus. We may speak of lack in our lives, this language is based on unbelief, doubt. I'm going to leave it there tonight because time's moving on. I've got a great chunk of a passage out of Matthew that I want to share in a fortnight's time because there's no evening service next week. But I want you to think about the things that you may have thought were right about the Holy Spirit and ask Holy Spirit, are there areas where I've been mistaught, misled, misunderstood, misinterpreted about the power that comes into my life and the Holy Spirit is allowed to rule in your life? You can live in that area of doubt and unbelief, the sin in God's eyes. We can say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." And when He comes, receive. Don't say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." And when He turns up, go, "Oh, I'm not ready for that." Be earnest. Be sincere. Ask Him to reveal, as I said earlier, things that are not right about who He is. I want to tease this out in a fortnight's time. As I said, it's a deep subject. It's a meaningful subject. But to me, the Holy Spirit is not a taboo subject. It's something that we as Pentecostal should be outrightly proud of in the right way, outrightly bold in, outrightly brave in, and see what God can do.